Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey, Tatooine Sons family, this is David. Today's episode is a conversation about the world introduced in the John Wick movies and why these films are more than just your run-of-the-mill action flicks. Did I say that right?
You did. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. Enough.
Thanks for listening. This is Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody was
What was the last one?
Resurrections,
that's right, came out. But The Matrix kind of started this entire shift in action movies kind of into the world building piece of it. Which universe do you guys think is more interesting to you, The Matrix or John Wick? I'll start with you, Sam.
I mean, it's not even a competition in my mind.
Really?
Not even close. Yeah, The Matrix.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, John Wick's great. And I think for...
No, I'm not talking about the movies. I'm talking about the world building.
I'm talking about for what the movies are, I think the world is way more interesting than usual. But I'm in world building in general between those two. The Matrix is so far more interesting, in my opinion. Just okay. I love the dystopian aspect of it when you've got like things building into it even more, like the Animatrix and stuff, expanding on that world.
Weird.
It is weird. It is very weird. I'm not denying that. But I find the world of the Matrix way more interesting. It's in the future, but set in the 90s. At the same time, you know, I think that's awesome.
Okay, what about you?
Yeah, I'd have to say The Matrix, just because the world that The Matrix has become such an icon, just the world itself. I mean, so many times people are like, are we living in a simulation? That's the world that The Matrix built. John Wick, it's very interesting, you know, the Continental, the High Table, the rules of the assassins, all of that's very interesting. It started growing in the second movie, kind of took a backseat in the third one. I'm sure it's going to be a front and center in this fourth one. So we don't have all that story yet. So ask me again, maybe in a month. But for now, yeah, definitely, I'd say The Matrix.
What would you say?
I really like the openness right now of the world in John Wick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I lived through the original Matrix trilogy and the Animatrix and all the speculation about the world, and they were throwing in, you know, games, they were throwing in all these things. And so they were filling out the world, mm-hmm. right? So the world building is done that way in the Matrix. But the fact that John Wick exists in this universe, and when I say this, I'm like, it's supposed to exist in our universe,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And these assassins are all around us, and you've got this hotel chain.
And it's like this organized business.
Yeah. And all of this stuff. And yet we don't have details. Mm-hmm. We know just a little bit about all of these things, makes the world so much more vast to learn from. So I enjoy that
That's
part
fair.
Of this.
Yeah.
The learning of the world of John Wick is enticing.
And
sure.
I think, you know, we haven't gotten that kind of world in this style of action movie before.
No.
I mean, well, even like Nobody, we love Nobody, and it kind of had an interesting world to it. You know, the what did they call them? Cleaners or something like that. You know, this super, auditors. Super secret.
They were the auditors.
Auditors, yeah, yeah. Getting in and cleaning stuff. Super interesting, but that's about it. You know, we didn't get much more outside of that to get us interested in the world. John Wick, it dropped you in the middle of it and gave you just enough to get you interested and to follow the story. So for what these movies are being, I think the world is far better than usual.
Mm-hmm. BB Neil, what makes the John Wick films different from other action films?
I don't know. There's just this sense of a genuine like story to it. You know, you go into each movie, and due to the fact that these three movies take place, what we can assume is basically over a few days so far, from the first movie to the third one. Think about it. These all take place
pretty close together.
I wouldn't know about days, but within a few weeks of each other, probably.
Yeah, for sure. So that aspect of that thrill, you know, at the end of two, he's not allowed to be in, he's not an assassin anymore. I forget what the word that they use is, but he's not allowed in the Continentals anymore.
He's about to be hunted
by all of these assassins. That world gave you this point of being like, okay, well, I want to see the next one now to understand what's going to happen then and see what, how he deals with all of that. And now we kind of got to this end of this like first trilogy is what it feels like. And now we're wondering where does it go from here? Obviously in the fourth one, he's trying to get out. He's trying to leave this assassin world and just kind of live a normal life with his dog, finally.
This is the whole reason you love these movies.
I know, the dog.
All he wants is to go live a peaceful life with his dog.
Right.
And that's totally the way you would
For sure. So I do like the aspect of there's genuine stakes to each one of these movies, for sure.
So, Sam, you brought up Nobody a little bit earlier, which is a great movie. And, you know, you've got similar styles, right? Mm-hmm. In Nobody and John Wick and Bullet Train even and John Wick, you know, this high impact, super violent action, you know, movie where they just drop you in the middle of a story and you have to figure it out. What do you think makes John Wick films different, and you know, do those films compare in some ways to the same style or what do you think about
Well,
that?
In some ways, It takes itself a little less seriously. I think that's really what made Nobody work, was it definitely didn't take itself too seriously. And that's part of the fun. Same with Bullet Train. Bullet Train was even less serious than Nobody. But John Wick, you know, it has some of the humor, but it's kind of a grander story than most action movies. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to think of like a cliche action movie. You know, I haven't watched the movies like Rambo or anything like that, but you know, those are your really serious kind of movies where from my limited knowledge, Rambo wasn't a character or hadn't existed in the world before the first movie, right? He was then inducted into the
first
story.
Movie wasn't even called Rambo. It was just First Blood.
Right. And then he became the character of Rambo in that movie. In John Wick is already this legend, this Baba Yaga, right? A boogeyman. And there's already this established world. Same with Nobody. Same with Bullet Train. And you've been talking about that. It drops us in the middle of the story. So it's more interesting. It feels like even after this movie is done, there's still more to learn, you know?
What do you think about comparing these movies that we've been talking about with like the Red movies? Remember Red?
You know? Yeah.
Do you feel like those fit into the same genre here, or do they try to tell too much of the background and the stories and kind of, I think that's one of the things that, you know, you get too many flashback scenes and stuff like that.
I think those movies were playing into a novelty, and that's all it was. It was some old, you know, a star-studded cast of older actors playing old,
yeah, like the Expendables as well.
Right,
those movies. Yeah,
you that was your shtick, your nuance to it, right? The novelty, and that's what you played off of. It was great, and it nailed the novelty perfectly. Similar to Violent Night, honestly.
Okay,
that was your novelty. It was Santa in an action movie. It nailed it. It was fun enough, but it didn't leave the same feeling as John Wick, Nobody, Bullet Train, where you're like, oh, I want to learn more about this world. I mean, it was just Santa.
Another time when I could feel like I felt like this was after I watched Bourne Identity for the first time. Bourne Identity really did just put you into this section. And that's the point of those movies. You're trying to learn with Jason Bourne, like, what the deal is with
the mystery there.
The mystery, yeah. Mm-hmm. Treadstone.
That's it.
But you're trying to learn that mystery behind it. And after the first movie, you really don't know anything. Second movie, even you learn some of it. But it's that third movie when you really find out everything about Treadstone. So I kind of felt like that along with this. There was a world established. There was, but the world was the plot device for this. And this one, it's just, this is the world. John Wick is the character that you're focusing on.
So. Yeah. You know, let's talk a little bit more about the actual world, not just the world building and the differences on this. You know, so in this storyline, in the world of John Wick, you have an origin story for this group of assassins, right? Where they talk all the way back to, you know, the Arabic word for hashish and the original meaning of the word assassins. This organization goes all the way back to those times,
right?
With this, you've got this high table of this council of elders or whatever that are making all the decisions and they're ruling, and you're also gonna have people vying for seats on the table and
killing
all of these
siblings
things.
For seats on the table
in the second movie specifically, and then you have these hotel chains, right?
That was,
the Continental, which is like these places where you can go and you get information, you get items you need and all of this, but it's also a safe haven,
right?
Which they really emphasize, I think, in the second movie, don't they?
He killed that guy in the Continental, and that's what set him on that third movie,
right? And you've got the gold coins and the markers and how you these rules. What do you think about the idea of these horrible people? Let's just be honest here. Everybody associated with this group
world
in John Wick are horrible, evil people.
Especially if you kill someone's dog.
And
you're just
yet
the bottom
you
of the barrel.
Have rules.
It's honor among thieves.
Yeah.
That concept.
Talk a little bit about the world and how that plays into it with the rules and stuff like that.
Definitely the most interesting part of this movie when I first started watching it was the Continental, was that kind of safe haven sanctuary part. And it is used as a plot device a lot in these movies. I mean, in the second one, I think, as well, somebody tries to assassinate John Wick in his hotel room. And that was
the first one.
That was the first one.
And
okay,
with the chip,
and they do. They get executed for it. So that it's used as kind of this point of stepping into this world of rules and honor. Like Sammy said, honor among thieves. There's a lot of even assassins kind of need class every now and then, and so this being the ability for them to regroup and kind of get to this point, because there's, it feels like a slight mutual respect between all assassins in that career path, and so this Continental kind of allows them all to relax and not worry about the day-to-day life of being an assassin. They get to actually set up and prep for what their next hit is going to be. And so Continental was always a super interesting part. And apparently they have good dog boarding. We found that out in the second movie.
What do you think about this world and all of the rules and the protocols and everything else that are associated with it?
Yeah, I mean, like, without rules, you have nothing but, like, chaos, right? You know, you have this group of highly skilled individuals who could kill anyone basically at a moment's notice, right? If you want to run an organized organization, you got to implement some serious rules, because these guys clearly already are okay with bending the rules. Killing's not legal, you know, like they're already not, you don't have a problem with that. So this is clearly a business in a way, right? They're guns for hire. Every business has to have rules to be run by, and so it's cool that even like assassins agree to follow rules, and a large part of that is they get a lot of resources for it. They have access to these safe places, right? These sanctuaries. They have access to an amazing armory of just about any
sommeliers, which are actually gun runners.
Yeah, I mean, suit tailors who can make bulletproof suits. You know, it's this network of resources that they get access to as long as they follow the rules and pay the fees and all that, right?
So. That's awesome. So, you know, you talked to BB Nate, you talked a lot about the Continental and how much you enjoy that. You know, it hasn't gotten a lot. I know it's gotten press. People are aware of it, but there's actually like a mini series coming out about the Continental. And from what I understand, they're going to all be individual like mini movies or
anthology
or whatever,
stories, kind
anthology
of
stories or whatever. But they're going to be set in the 1970s. So you're going to have, you're going to have Winston, a young version of Winston.
That
you're
going to
have
great.
A young, I can't remember the
concierge.
The concierge, basically. Yeah. What his name is.
I don't remember. I think he might just be called the concierge.
No, he has a name. But there's going to be a young version of him. You're going to see these hotels all around the world.
You might see young John Wick.
Well, now they're saying right now that that's not going to be the case.
That's not going to be the case.
Okay. I don't want
that.
He's
way too young.
He's like 17-year-old John Wick.
With this.
I hope he had at least a normal like teenage life or something. Jeez.
What are you thinking about them like expanding into a new series? And setting it so far back. I mean, you know, as someone who was born in the mid 70s, it pains me to say that this is set basically 50 years ago with this. What do you think about that?
I'm excited to see it, you know, that this kind of hustle and bustle of the Continental and talking about like this, the way it runs more, because we know the basic rules of it, but we don't understand how it actually runs, how everything works. And so being able to see that's going to be really interesting. Wonder if we kind of see some like ideas of how these hits work and see if we see some drama inside of the Continental. Maybe we see the genuine part of where the rule took place that you cannot take any business down in the Continental due to a part that happens in this miniseries. That'd be an interesting concept. But I'm just excited to see more of this hotel, more of these stories. It's going to be really interesting. And we have a spinoff movie coming off up.
Another movie?
Another spinoff movie of John Wick, a ballerina.
Oh, really? I didn't connect that.
So that's going to be, and John Wick is going to be in that as a side character.
Do we know
so.
Anything more about that movie?
The main chick from Knives Out, the first one, is going to be the main character. I don't remember.
Anna de Armas.
Yes,
or
she's going to be. Yeah, she's going to be the main character.
She did great in Bond.
Yeah,
she did. She really like That's the right. 5 seconds she was in. No,
but
time
she did great.
But she
in
did
that.
Great. So
it was
she's
almost like
be,
an audition. Probably.
Yeah, she's going to be the main character in Ballerina, and John Wick is going to be a part of that movie. So.
What do you think about the Continental series, Sam?
Oh, I'm super excited for it. You know, the 70s, that's a fun... I don't know if you can really say fun.
It is an interesting era
to set it in, you know? You got the nostalgia-ish aspect of it, right? But there's also... You can have some interesting political dialogue in it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a pretty tumultuous time for America. Was that the right word?
Wow. Yeah. Surprising.
No, I'm surprised too. But
supposedly.
You can see.
Brandon.
But you can see what the assassin world was doing behind the scenes during all of
It'd be fun to tie it into some political stuff in the era. The Cold War, the Nixon Watergate stuff. Mm-hmm. You could tie it into the aftermath of the Kennedy assassination.
I was wondering if they were going to cover up.
Was that the assassin?
That would be a fun story to tell.
I just don't know if they would... It might be a little too controversial to try to talk to like bring in, because this is a fictional world and they're bringing in real life stuff.
That'd be fun to do.
They did it in X-Men.
And
I know they did in X-Men.
So I think they could do it. I would like that. I would like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. So you guys realize that they're talking that this is supposed to release sometime this year.
There's also talking about this. The Sisterhood show is supposed to release this year.
We need some trailers or something.
We need like an HBO Max a day, like they do with Disney Plus, the Disney Plus day.
For real?
We need an HBO Max one.
All we really need is the Dune trailer.
Yes. The Penguin trailer.
The Penguin trailer. Oh, we need it all.
You're right. We need an HBO Max.
I am your father.
I'm sure you picked up on the fact that we recorded this conversation about John Wick before we learned of the news that Lance Riddick, who played the concierge, Sharon, in the John Wick franchise, passed away due to natural causes last week at the age of 60. As I've taken some time to think about this, I find it interesting how lightly we treat death in our film franchises, but how significant and heavy death is in real life. This weekend, millions of fans of the John Wick franchise will head to the theaters, and the on-screen violence and death will be at times overwhelming. And we'll all react to certain moments. We'll cringe at times at the way things go down. But we are seeing death in this setting as a form of entertainment. Meanwhile, we should do well to take a few minutes and just step back and think about the passing of Lance Riddick and remember that in the real world, death is inevitable and anything but entertainment. Thank you for listening to Tatooine Sons, a pop culture podcast. If you missed it last week, we threw up a bonus reaction episode to Shazam Fury of the Gods that is available both on YouTube as a video and on the podcast app. So make sure you check that out. Next week is a special episode in our normal cadence of episodes where BB Nate is interviewing Brandon Proctor. Brandon Proctor is a legend in sound editing in the film space. He was nominated for an Academy Award for Black Panther. He did Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Thor Love and Thunder. He did the A Quiet Place movies. He did the Creed original Creed movie. So it's a really great conversation. It's amazing to me when I listen back on that conversation that they had, how many people that do sound in film were inspired to get involved in that space because of Star Wars films. So we'll talk about that. Nathan will have that conversation. It's a lot of fun. Please follow the show on whatever podcast app you're listening to us on right now. We're available on all of the different apps. So make sure that you follow and subscribe or whatever your app does. If it has a rating and review system in that app, please give us a rating and review. That is how you tell the app that this show is good and that they should promote it and put it in the feed as a suggestion for other people. So if you enjoy this show, that's one of the most important things that you can do and easiest things that you can do to help us get the word out about the show. Follow us on our social media, Twitter, on Facebook, YouTube, whatever social media you find that you prefer to interact on. We'd love to have you engaging with us there. And then share this episode with others, especially if they're big fans of the John Wick franchise. We would love for them to have a chance to listen to this. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. Of course,
may the Force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please.
Yep, yep.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.